Even more importantly, we are joined right now by the Golden State Warriors president of basketball operations and the general manager. He is a two-time NBA Executive of the Year, led the Warriors to three NBA titles, five straight conference titles. He was an NCAA champion as a player, an inductee into the Monta Vista High School Athletic Hall of Fame. He is a San Quentin basketball legend. Game four of the Western Conference Finals at Dallas tomorrow night, Golden State at Dallas. Bob Myers is my guest. Bob, it is so good to have you back. How are you, Bob?
Hey, I'm good, Jim. Is the best part of that little is the San Quentin legend the best? Is that the best part of that resume?
I'm going to say it's either that or the fact that you are an inductee into the Monta Vista High School Athletic Hall of Fame. You'd have to tell me, but I think maybe San Quentin by a nose, maybe.
I think San Quentin. Yeah, I think that's a little bit more hard to. I was sitting at the game last night. And somebody asked me. I was sitting on the floor, and the guy next to me said, "So you play basketball in San Quentin?" I said, "Actually, yeah, I have a few times." It's more interesting than Executive of the Year, I can tell you that.
It's more intimidating to me than going to the Monta Vista High School Athletic Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, although I haven't done either, and you have invited me a number of times. Hey, Bob, is there a way to really quickly reset this with the understanding that, you know, the audience turns over and people still ask you about this even courtside? Can you even just say really briefly when the last time you did that was, why you do that, what the experience is like?
Yeah, you know, COVID screwed it up. I got hurt too, so a couple things. But what it was early on is, for the people that don't know, which I assume many don't, about 8 or 9 years ago, a guy I worked with, Kirk Lake, who was our owner's son, mentioned to me that he was playing basketball in San Quentin. And I couldn't understand how that was possible because San Quentin's a maximum security prison. And to let somebody in there and to play basketball. And I was, at that time in my life, and maybe still, I'm always looking for a good game. And a life experience. So walking into San Quentin, I'll never forget, you walk in there through about six different gates, and you get you can't walk in with anything. No contraband is what they call it. And by the time you get through these huge steel doors, I looked to my left, and Jim, I walked in there, and there was a building to the left, and it said Adjustment Center. That's what it says on the side of the building in this Gothic writing. And I asked the warden, I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Oh, that's Death Row." And I said, "Really?" So you have the death row inmates up there. So that was my initiation. And then I walked down, and you kind of walk down this hill, and you look at the yard, so to speak, and, you know, people doing pull-ups and chin-ups, and it's, you know, shirts off, and it's pretty damn intimidating. But I will say this, like I told the guy last night at the game, as far as a pickup game, they were the nicest guys. Now, I don't know what they did to get in there. I actually do know some of the guys now, some of the inmates. We actually hired one of them. He works our elevator operating at Chase Center. And they were the nicest guys in the pickup game and in incredible shape, as you can imagine, like incredible shape. And so I ended up going 7, 8, 9 times. And the takeaway is this, Jim. This is my takeaway. Yours might be different. When you're around people like that, what I realized quickly was, had I grown up like a lot of these guys, maybe I'm in there. That's the takeaway. Like, I'm not better or worse. I got lucky. I grew up in, you know, two-parent household in the suburbs, and that gives you a pretty good head start on life. If I had been exposed to a lot of the things these guys had, I mean, I can't say I would have turned out any different. So that's my takeaway, but an unbelievable experience.
I agree with you, and I'm glad you shared that. No, I agree with you, Bob. Bob Myers joining us. So, Bob, you and I could talk about that for hours. It's fascinating. Thanks for sharing that. You and I have talked over the years also about your desire to appreciate everything that is happening as it's happening. Knowing that, and especially knowing what the last two seasons have been like, what kind of thoughts do you have as this playoff run does unfold?
That's really good, Jim. And that show, we've I don't know how many of these we've done, but I appreciate you remembering that because I'm really trying. When we went to the finals 5 years in a row, if I'm being honest, and I don't speak for the team, I don't speak for Steve Kerr, I speak for myself, I wish I had enjoyed it more while it was happening. And so I promised myself before this year, I thought we had a pretty good team, and I said, whatever happens this year, I'm going to enjoy this, man. This is too hard a job not to enjoy. And so I'm trying to do that. Now, again, it's not my nature. I'm not one of these kind of like Steph Curry, who I have huge envy for because he enjoys life almost better than anybody I know. I'm not built like that, but I am trying, and I'm appreciating this year. Part of this year is that when you stop winning like we did, and we had the worst record in the league 2 years ago, and then we lost in the play-in last year, I think I appreciated how hard it is to do what we did. And to get back, it's kind of like a second shot in life a little bit to say, you know, if you could go back to high school, I'd appreciate it more. If I could go back to this situation. So I'm trying, and I really am. I mean, it's a fun thing. And I think I was thinking today before I knew I was going to talk to you, I wanted, as in my job, it's to build the team. I wanted to see what Steph, Clay, and Draymond, I wanted them to get beat, I should say. I wanted to say, let's let them play until they get beat. And we never really got that. I mean, Toronto beat us, and that's fine. But I wanted to see a team where they could try again. And we're kind of getting to see that. That's fulfilling.
Bob Myers, my guest. You know, Bob, what you just said is so interesting to me because I feel like I'm a little bit like you. As I look back, and, you know, not to be morbid, but as I look back on my life and some of the things that have happened, I find myself thinking the same thing that you just said. I wish I had enjoyed that more when it was happening because it was so hard to do that, whatever that is. And then you said, I wish I was more like Steph, who just is kind of built for that, and that you might not be built for that. But you're right. Like, when I look at Steph, and I don't know Steph, but when I look at Steph, I just see joy. But now I know he works. I know he grinds. I know he cares. But what is that? Is he built like that? Is it hardwiring? Because he just seems so joyful.
You know what? It is who he is. And again, it's true. This isn't an act. That's who he is. My wife's brother-in-law, who passed away, was the same way. Some people are born that way. You know, they just, you probably know some other people in your life like that, Jim. Like, they're the ones that make it fun. And it's not like their life's perfect. Steph Curry's life is not perfect. People listening might say, trust me, it's not. It's great, but he had to work for what he has. And his life, the other day we were walking, we were leaving I think we were in Memphis, and I said, I'm going to walk back to the hotel. And I asked him, I said, does it suck that you can't walk back with us? Like, you have to take the bus and security. And he looks at me and goes, yeah, man. It's like, I want to walk sometimes. And now people listening might be like, he cannot walk down the street. Now, you might say, who cares? But my point is that there's always trade-offs in life. But to his, how he lives, it's the thing I'm most envious of. It's not his jump shot. It's not his money. It's not his fame. It's how much he enjoys every day. And he just does, Jim. And look, it's not because he's rich and famous. There's a lot of, you know this. You know this, Jim. There's a lot of people that are rich and famous that are very unhappy. And he's not. And, you know, win, lose, draw, he's who he is, and so it makes him fun to be around.
I agree with you, Bob. I envy that quite a bit. I really do appreciate that about him. Bob Myers joining us. So, Bob, what about Clay, for instance? What does it mean to you personally to see Clay Thompson back playing in the conference finals after everything he's been through physically?
It's you know, he 2 years, Jim, and I didn't, you know, I used to go with the team more in the regular season than I do now as far as road games, but because I don't as much, I would see Clay in the facility all the time over the last 2 years, just rehabbing. It's lonely. And you get forgotten. I mean, it's, you know how it is in this society, like out of sight, out of mind. But Clay has this insatiable hunger for basketball. It's I've said this before, it's like water to Clay. He has to have it. And so he first was upset, and then, like, you know, the stages of grief, to go through that twice, and then angry, and then finally now he's at this great peace. He got something he loves taken from him. And for people that listening, he never got hurt. Like, this guy never missed games. And then to have two catastrophic injuries, and to have to watch us play and not be able to play. Some players don't love basketball, Jim. Some athletes don't love their sport, and that's fine. They can do whatever they want. He would play for $5. Now, he makes a lot of money, and he should. He would play for free. He just loves it. And to see him just playing basketball at a high level again and competing, pretty awesome. It's an unbelievable story. And the fact that we're back at a high level, it's really great to see him out there.
It's amazing. Bob Myers joining us. Bob, how about a thought or two on Steve Kerr? And I mean this in the sense that there seems to be, I hate to be the guy who goes, there seems to be this perception, but there seems to be this perception that Kerr just kind of rolls the ball out there on the court for players, and then he sits down. When people think that, or if anybody thinks that, how much are they underestimating what he does as a coach and a leader?
Okay, well, you're obviously well accomplished. Like, I bet people think, Jim, you show up and put the microphone on and just start talking to people, right? That's probably what they think you do.
Man, I wish.
I know that's right, right? But people think that. Oh, Rome just shows up and, hey, this guest, here's Bob, you know, whatever, he'll just ask me a few questions. I know your preparation. And people don't need to know that, but I know what it is. But I don't know how hard it is to do your job. So people that critique anyone's job, my job, I mean, people think, I would have drafted this guy, that guy. That's like 20% of the job. I mean, so the job is Draymond Green is screaming and yelling, and you got to go calm him down. I mean, there's different parts, like your job. So with Steve, that is completely unfair. You know, managing people, managing a staff, managing expectations. For about 4 or 5 years, Jim, we were expected to win every single game. Every single game. And for 3 years, I think we were favored. I think in the Durant years, I don't know that we were underdogs in any game. So you give anybody an occupation where the only outcome that's acceptable is winning every single game, and tell me how that's easy to navigate. So look, I can't. People are going to think whatever they think. I learned a long time ago when people called our 73-9 season a failure. I decided I get to decide what that season meant, not them. So with Steve, the beauty of Steve is he has a personal gratification. The guy's got 8 rings. He has 8 championships. So he's human. He hears that stuff too. But to knock what he does just because he's got good players is unfair. But people will do it, Jim. And I know him. I see him every day. Coaching professional sports is a brutal job. It is a brutal job in so many different ways. And, Jim, you're probably closer to it than most. And he's done an unbelievable job. And he's an unbelievable human being. So I'm lucky to kind of have been around him for the last, I think, 8 years now.
Well, I agree with you, Bob. He doesn't have to. He doesn't need to. And I know because, although I don't speak to Steve very often anymore, I used to interview him quite a bit when he played for the Bulls. So you always saw that character. Even as a college player, you saw that kind of character and you saw what he was about. You know, Bob, I'm just kind of following you around, but you mentioned Draymond. Also, for the record, I've always loved Draymond. I loved him in Michigan State when I used to talk to him for the first time. I love Draymond. Not a perfect individual, but none of us are. But what is something about Draymond that people don't know that they should know?
That he listens. That's what people don't know. That he was doing his podcast, which you probably heard it.
It's great.
And I said, hey, man, I said, you're swearing too much on your podcast. And he said, you think so? I said, yeah. I said, don't do that. I said, you're smarter than that. You can use other words. I said, you can swear. I'm not telling you not to swear. But you're turning some people off. And I said, there's an audience that I don't know if it's 10, 20, 30% that you're not getting because you're doing that. And so he will look you in the eye and he says, all right. And then the next 2 weeks later, he goes, hey man, I'm not swearing as much. So there's this perception that Draymond is unintelligent, won't listen, thinks he knows everything. That's not true. Now, you do have to hit him between the eyes. He's an alpha. So if he senses fear or lack of conviction, he will run over you. He smells that out. But if you come to him, it's not just because I am in the job I'm in. He respects people, but you have to come honestly, you know, authentically with him. So I would say that about him. I think people listening probably know he's smart. I'm sure some people don't like him at all. I would say this, like you said, Jim, not perfect. I like the imperfection. The thing that I like, having been around athletes for a long time and then representing them, and I like guys that are real. That's it. The thing I don't like is the ones that they won't show you who they are. So Draymond, good, bad, ugly, that's who he is. I like that because that's who most of us are. But the ones that I struggle more with are the ones where they pretend to be something they're not. We know, I mean, people know who he is. Like him or not, that's who he is. And I think authenticity is attractive to everybody.
I agree with you. Nobody likes fake. Bob Myers joining us. Bob, one last thought, and I always appreciate our time so much. But if we were to go back to when you made that trade for Andrew Wiggins, there were so many who were happy to call him a bust and say things like, the guy just does not have the competitive fire to maximize that talent. He's just not a winner. What did you see in him and in maybe in your locker room and coaching staff to let you know that he could not only fit but be successful in this environment?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and that's part of the job is doing what you think is right in the face of some headwinds, and I've made mistakes. I'll make more. But with that one, we thought in the front office, there's something in this. There's something there. And clearly there's a lot of question marks about Andrew. That's why he was available in a trade. But I had watched, prior to the trade, I'd watched a lot of his games because we had the idea that this was maybe a possibility. So I started watching him that entire year. And, he had great games. He had games that weren't as good. And I thought, and I still believe, if you put him in what you think is a situation where they can thrive and they're talented, and you put those two things together, you got to hope you can get some results. And so that's life. You take somebody that's talented, you put them in the right environment, that's a recipe for success. And we thought that. And sometimes it doesn't work, Jim, but with Andrew, he's an unbelievable guy, very soft-spoken. He had been raked over the coals, right or wrong, for most of his career, probably beaten down, huge expectations on him. And we thought, you know what, this guy has tremendous talent. It's in there. He's young. He doesn't miss games. That's another thing people may or may not know. Never misses games. So that's a huge thing. He's available. He must love to play. I mean, half the guys in sports are looking for reasons to sit out. Doesn't do that. And so I saw that part as this guy must love to play. Because in the NBA, money is guaranteed. Trust me. Like, if some guys are banged up and they'll say, I got my ankle off, I need another week. I need another 2 weeks. Andrew plays. So I saw that as a huge positive, too. And it's so satisfying to, not for me, Jim, not to validate a trade, to see him in this moment, to see somebody that was kind of criticized at a pretty decent level succeeding for him, like to see him smiling last night, that's a cool part of the job, to watch a player kind of get the recognition they deserve.
So, Bob, finally, I got to ask really quickly. So as somebody who won an NCAA championship, as somebody who played the game at a high level, somebody who's at the top of his profession, you are a professional. You conduct yourself accordingly. What goes through you in that moment when he rises up and he throws one down on Luka the way he did last night? What did that feel like for you? What did that feel like to Bob Myers?
There's some things. I remember when my first All-Star game was like in 2000, and it was in the Bay Area. And Vince Carter was in the slam dunk contest. And he did that dunk where he did, I think, a windmill. And you couldn't not get out of your chair. Like, you didn't even think about it. So you just jumped up because it was so – that's what it caused you to do. Same thing last night with Wiggins. I mean, I just, like, popped up. And I was sitting on the floor, and Mahomes was sitting between me and our owner. He was there with, I think, his new wife. And I looked at him, and he said, man, he said, that's an athlete. And I said, yeah, as a fan of basketball, I mean, I can't jump like that, so let's never pretend that was true. But that's why we watch sports, Jim, is for that elite athleticism, those moments where it's kind of like, that is not normal. Like, people can't do that. Like, even NBA players, even Doncic after the game was like, yeah, that's pretty good. That's why you go to the game. To see that stuff in person. I know it was good on TV, but I popped out of my chair, and I'm a cynical, hardened executive that's seen hundreds of playoff games, and it was pretty good, man. I got to be honest.
That's an amazing response by you. He is the Golden State Warriors president of basketball ops and GM, a two-time NBA executive of the year. The thing is, Bob, I try to pick my spots very carefully in talking to you on this program. I would love to do it more than I do, but out of respect for you and your time, I got to pick my spots, but it always is awesome. I have such a great appreciation for you, respect for you, admiration for you, and I'm so glad we could do it again, especially this time of year. So I know there's still work to be done, but I really do appreciate it, Bob. Thanks so much, and I appreciate the friendship.
Absolutely, man. I love coming on the show anytime I can. So take care, Jim. And if you ever want to come to a game, let me know.
You know it. Bob Myers, my guy. Appreciate that. What can I tell you? Yeah, this is why I'm glossed Warrior Jim. Because of conversations and relationships and friendships like that. Bob Myers, one of my all-time favorite people to have on this program. Raymond Ritter, one of my all-time favorite human beings in life.